Open up to the book of James, James 4. We're still in chapter 4. And again, I know I've said this probably every week. This is a letter, an epistle, if you will, from James. And it would have been read in one shot, maybe even explained that day. But we take our time. We're seeing all that not only James has sent, but also everything that the Lord would even have for us. So James chapter 4, and we'll begin at verse 7. James 4. Actually, I'm going to begin at verse 6. I'm going to back up just a little bit. James 4, verse 6. Hear the word of the Lord. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Let's commit this time to the Lord. Let's pray. Almighty God, we come before you a humble people. We desire, Lord, to hear from you. I know that it is not my words that do anything. Your word is effective, not mine. I pray, Lord, that I would fade into the background, that your people would hear your word, and that those that are not yours would feel the weight. They feel the weight of conviction, feel the weight of need for a Savior. And Lord, I pray that you would make it abundantly clear that you are the only way, the only solution to the problem of sin. Lord, we ask again that you would accept our worship. And as we sit under the preaching of the word, it is worship, Lord. Help us to focus. Help us to understand. May you clear our minds of distractions, and may your Holy Spirit be at work. In Christ's name, amen. So the last time we were together, last time we were together, we closed with James 4, verse 6, which reads, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In the face of our sinful tendencies and the allure of this world, James offers hope. He quotes Proverbs 3, verse 34, affirming that God opposes the proud, but gives grace. He gives grace to the humble. He shows favor to those who are humble. By embracing humility, we position ourselves to receive grace, abundant grace, mercy, and even guidance, right? Wisdom from above, we've seen in James. Therefore, we must humble ourselves before God, recognizing our need for his wisdom and strength. This is what we've seen out throughout this letter. We've seen it completely from James 1:1 through. In James 1:5, we read, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. We must ask in humility. We must admit our lack, our shortcomings, our weaknesses. We're to repent of our foolishness and pray for wisdom. That takes humility. In James 1:9, we read, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. This is the humble. And what do they boast in? That they will one day be exalted, that they will be given eternal life, that they have eternal life even now. We humbly recognize that we're lowly, and it's God who lifts us up. In James 1:19, we read, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person practice humility by being quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." Right? That's why we practice humility. Humbling ourselves, not just reacting, but being slow to speak, quick to hear, not just reacting, not just being reacting with anger, but being slow to that, checking ourselves. We're humbly seeing ourselves in light of God's word. We react accordingly, right, in repentance, not simply hearing what to do, but also doing, right? James 1:25, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Again, it's recognizing who we are in light of God's word. Not just being a hearer, but a doer of the word. In James 2:1, we're told, "My brothers, show no partiality as you who hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." We humble ourselves as we honor all people alike, showing no partiality to either the poor or the rich, right? Loving our neighbor as ourself. Right? We are secondary. That takes humility. In James 3:8, we read, "But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." We humble ourselves and recognize that we cannot bridle our tongues. We can't. Our speech can only be held in check by the Holy Spirit, a Holy Spirit wrought change of who we are, from death to life at the spiritual level. May we humble ourselves and may we submit to our God. That's the next verse. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. This in itself is an act of humility. In recognizing who God is, we must recognize who we are. In the face of Almighty God, the omnipotent, all-powerful God, even the strongest of men is a weakling, powerless. We can do nothing. When faced with the omniscient God, the all-knowing God, he who knows every hair on your head, every heart motive behind everything you've ever done, not just the good and bad that you've done, but every motive behind it. Your memory isn't even close to remembering even a fraction of the things you've done, let alone each sin you've committed or obedience you've omitted. Do you remember even what you ate for dinner 2 weeks ago? No. We must acknowledge in humility that our knowledge is more than just limited. What do we know really? In humility, we recognize who God is and recognize we are not God. We are sinful. We must recognize who we are in light of a holy and righteous God. We must humble ourselves. John 3:30 says, he must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, I'm not putting myself up on a pedestal for all to see. Or I shouldn't. I must decrease. Proclaim him. Proverbs 22:4. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord. Notice that humility and fear of the Lord go hand in hand. Luke 14:11. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. That's not if you exalt yourself, you'll be humble. No, if you exalt yourself, he will humble you. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. He who humbles himself will be exalted. Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Nothing. But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. In humility, count others as more significant than yourself. We are in desperate need of God's grace. Because that is not natural. We're out for number one. Me. We are in desperate need of God's grace. Verse 6 of our chapter here in 4 reads, but he gives more grace. He gives more grace. Therefore, right? Therefore, it, the word of God, says, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. This is a command. This is a command, not a suggestion. This is a command. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. It's a command, but it's also the prescription. The prescription. The prescription against friendship with the world. The prescription against worldliness. Remember, James 4, going back, right? Backing up a couple verses, 4 through 5. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity or hostility with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? Remember, this, he's writing to believers. He's writing to believers who have the Spirit. And he yearns jealously because we're an adulterous people. We're worldly. We desire friendship with the world, and that makes us an enemy of God. So the prescription against worldliness, against being at odds with our Creator, the prescription against friendship with the world, against worldliness, against making yourselves an enemy of God, is to submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit specifically, right, to the Spirit of God as he has been made to dwell in us. Again, this is a command. Submit yourselves to God as his subjects. He is Lord, the Lord of Lords. He is King, the King of Kings. Submit to the Prince of Peace in duty, commitment, loyalty. Submit as one friend to another in love and devotion. Submit your understanding, your worldly knowledge that is, remember, earthly, sensual, demonic. Submit your understanding to the truths of God, the wisdom that comes down from above. Submit your self-will to the will of God, the will of his command and instruction, but also the will of his providence, his guidance, his care. That's a lot of submitting. And it sounds like, man, that's a lot of going without. No. We gain. We gain by our submission to God. It's not something negative. It's not something detrimental. We don't miss out. God will not hurt you by his sovereign power or his supreme authority over you, Christian. But he'll do you good. He'll do you good. It's not the only prescription. What else is prescribed? What else is commanded to keep us from worldliness? James also urges the believers addressed in this letter and us to resist the devil. Resist the devil. This is not separate from submitting to God. This is in addition to and in conjunction with submission. They go hand in hand. James says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Pretty straightforward. He will flee from you. He will flee from you. But I struggle with this sin, and I struggle with this, and I can't just get... Well, submit yourself to God. Resist. Resist the temptation. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We're told, if we resist the devil, there's not a lot of explication here, right? There's resist the devil, and we are told the result will be he will flee from you. We're commanded to resist the devil. But how often do we just give in? It's too hard. We hear, but we do not do. How often do we truly oppose, fight tooth and nail against the temptations of the devil, resisting sin? And we wonder why we continue to struggle. We make no progress. If we yield to these temptations, the devil will continually follow us. I'm not going to flee. If we continually yield to the temptations of the devil, he'll continually follow after us. He's not going to flee. But the devil will flee from you if you resist him and submit yourselves to God. They go hand in hand. It's not just flee the devil, flee the devil, flee the devil. I'm sorry, resist the devil. Submit yourselves to God. We live in a world full, absolutely full of all kinds of temptations, all kinds of evil, but we're not left defenseless. Along with submitting to God, resisting the devil, we're then told to, verse 8, draw near to God. Submit to God, resist the devil, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Again, not a lot needs to be explained there. Do this, this is the result. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Right? James is continuing this admonition. He encourages the believers to draw near to God. And as the devil flees, we draw near to God. And God draws near to us. James encourages us to draw near to God through sincere repentance. Right? We turn from sin to our God, right? Taking full advantage of the means of grace that our God has given us. Means of grace? What's that? We take full advantage of the means of grace. God has provided ways by which we can regularly have our faith in his promises built up, right? Be edified by the practice of the means of grace. The means of grace. These are ways of strengthening our faith, right? They're referred to as just ordinary. It's not like some super spiritual thing. This is just the ordinary means of grace, prayer. Prayer. We talked about this, I think with the men, before or during prayer meeting. By the way, prayer meeting, Wednesday nights. We talked about this where there's ways of praying. Different, you know, some people use the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, adoration. We come to God and we recognize who he is and we adore him. We glory in him. We repeat back to him who he is, recognizing who he is, adoration. And then confession, A-C, confession. We confess our lack, our sin. We're not God. God, you were here. We're here humbling ourselves. Confession, specific sin and general sin. ACT, thanksgiving. All that I have, I owe to God. I'm so thankful. I could be here, but I'm not. You've done this. You've provided not just regular old things, but a savior. ACTS. Lastly, supplication. Lord, supply my needs. Even in that, even in prayer, lastly, we think of ourselves. These are means of grace, prayer, going to God and availing ourselves. That's a means of grace, being built up in our faith. So prayer is a means of grace. Sitting under the preaching of the word, it's a means of grace. It's ordinary. You walk through the doors, you sit down, you listen. It's a means of grace. But how hard it is for some people just to make it here on a Sunday for a couple hours. You don't have to come here. Go to any good church that you feel comfortable worshiping at. We're not the only church. But you should avail yourselves to the preaching of the word. It's a means of grace. We flee the devil and we draw near to God. And God draws near to us. We draw near to God by ordinary means of grace. What other means of grace are there? They're the ordinances, baptism, the Lord's Supper. As believers, we come to the table and we experience a tangible, physical, material sign. We can touch it. It's bread. A little plastic cup. And it reminds us every week the generosity of our God to give a Savior that would take our punishment, an eternal punishment, an infinite punishment. God is an infinite being. We are finite. That's humility. We are finite. Yet, when we sin against an infinite God, we commit an infinite crime, and it deserves an infinite penalty. And in the supper, we see God's prescription. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my broken body, broken for you. This is my blood that was shed for you. Ordinary means of grace. The elements. The Lord's Supper. A constant reminder. It's not magic. But somehow, some way, we commune with our God in that. And we commune with each other. Ordinary means of grace. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. He will. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. He seems so far off. He didn't move. As believers, we have the Holy Spirit within us, empowering us to resist the devil, his schemes, his temptations. If you have the Holy Spirit within you, you have the same power that raised Christ from the dead, living within you. You can resist the devil's schemes. The issue is we're so some of us are so ingrained and so in love with even our sin that when the devil pulls that chain, it's as though we're still connected to it. And we just go like we once did. But now that chain has been torn asunder. We don't have to follow after it. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We are empowered to resist the devil's temptations, schemes. Unfortunately, some of us don't want to resist. Some of us are still in this world, still loving the world, still a slave to sin because you've not been converted. You do not have the Holy Spirit. Again, as believers, we have the Holy Spirit within us empowering us to resist the devil. It requires an active choice on our parts to submit ourselves, believers, to God and his will, and to stand firm against the devil's lies, temptations. We don't do that in our flesh. We do that with the means of grace, prayer, sitting under the word, weekly coming to the table, humbling ourselves. The next portion of this says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Cleanse your hands. He prompts us, James, to cleanse our hands, right, our hearts, purify our minds, turn from, lay aside the sinful habits, the desires that you have that hinder your relationship with God. True submission to God involves turning from sin, turning from your old ways and surrendering again to his will. As we humble ourselves, he promises to draw near to us, filling us with his grace, empowering us to resist the temptations of this world. He continues and says, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I remember a couple weeks ago, Joshua saying, choose which God you're going to serve. If it's Baal, go, do it. Or if it's the one true God, serve him. But you can't be double-minded. Choose. Verse 9, be wretched. Recognize where you're at. Be wretched. Understand, you are a sinner. You are not God. Humble yourself. And mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. James has us draw near to God. And it's clear. Seek to be intimately related to your Creator. Seek intimacy. Get to know your God through prayer, through worship, through the study of his word. All of these ordinary means of grace, we cultivate a relationship and it will sustain us through this life. Its challenges, its trials. Humble yourselves before the Lord. All right, James emphasizes this. Humility is the path, for lack of a better word, to spirituality. Right? We recognize our dependence upon God. We approach God with repentant hearts, ready to receive, submit to his will. And in that, blessing. Right? He's not going to hold back. We should not be enticed by the ways of the world as believers, but instead fully commit ourselves to God and his righteousness. May we draw near to him in humility, resist the devil's schemes, knowing, right, he will draw near to us. God's grace is sufficient for us. We're called to love and encourage one another. Right? Leave judgment and condemnation and all that stuff. Leave that. Draw near to your God. Encourage one another in this. May the Holy Spirit guide us, empower us, transform us. And may we then be a light to others. It's a dark, messed up world. But we are ambassadors to it. Love and grace we've been given. But the life of a Christian, as we saw with the apostles, is a life of humility and submission. In the midst of all the conflicts, the desires that cause strife and fighting, in the midst of all of those things that drive us apart, James here provides really a key in some respects to unity. If we're all resisting the devil and drawing near to God, right, we find unity with each other, peace with God. Again, embrace humility, lowliness. You're last. Esteeming others as more than you. If we're pursuing humility, submitting to God, we're going to experience his grace, his guidance, humbling ourselves, turning away from worldly desires. This is all part and parcel. We'll find strength, peace, and unity in our relationships. Again, this is all building on what has come before in this chapter and previous chapters. We trust in God's promise that he will draw near to those who draw near to him. So, as the body of Christ, may we demonstrate true humility, submission, love for one another, pointing each other towards the grace that we can have and the regular means of grace. Not, hey, where you been? But like, man, you missed. You missed out. Man, this was great. You know, you could really benefit from. Not as a gotcha, but as a, man, I care for you. I know, I need it too. I need you to come alongside me as I come alongside you. And in doing so, in all of these things, the day in and the day out, what we find is that our lives are transformed. Right? Our souls are aligned with the eternal purposes of God. This world is not our home. Why desire the world? Why desire these things. Resist the world. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Submit yourself to God. This is what true repentance looks like. James calls us to cleanse our hands, purify our hearts. Acknowledge your sin in humility, confess it before God, turn from it, and embrace God's grace and mercy even today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Our desire is for you. I seek no fame, I seek no fortune. Why would I want the riches of this world, the fame of this world, when I've been given eternity? Father, everything that you've given, whether it be dollars and cents, talents and gifts, are for me to use up for your glory. Personally, I pray, Lord, that I would resist the devil. That I personally, as the pastor of this church, would draw near to you and that you would draw near to me so that I might minister to your people. I'm nothing. May you grant me wisdom from above. I thank you for your word, the practicality of it. May we continue in the means of grace that you've provided, these ordinary things. May they point us to you, and may you build us up. In Christ's name, amen.